Tonight, a new emergency in Houston as critical infrastructure begins to buckle and massive reservoirs overflow for the first time in their history. The nation's fourth largest city blowing past a record-shattering 51 inches of rain, opening new mega shelters for thousands with nowhere to go. And tonight, word of a tragedy hitting the police force, an officer drowning in the floods while trying to get to work to help others.
So we couldn't find him, and once our dive team got there, it was too treacherous to go under and look for him.
President Trump and the First Lady on the ground in Texas. The storm now taking aim at Louisiana on the 12th anniversary of Katrina. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Katy, Texas.
Good evening to our viewers in the West, once again from Southeast Texas, where we saw something late today that we haven't seen in days. The sun came out for a while, a much-needed ray of hope in a region suffering from so much misery and despair. But the strain of 5 days of historic rain is pushing the reservoirs here, the dams, the bridges, the levees, all of them to the brink, a record-shattering 51 inches since this storm came ashore. President Trump visited the area, meeting today with emergency officials as the rescues continue around the clock. At least five people are confirmed dead, including a Houston police officer. And tonight they're bracing for the next hit, Harvey preparing to make a remarkable third landfall on the Texas-Louisiana border. We have all of it covered, starting with NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
One by one, hundreds more swept up in Houston's massive rescue effort, swelling to an epic scale tonight.
We've been here 25 years and we've never been close, never even been threatened with high water.
U.S. Customs and Border Patrol's Black Hawk crew saving homeowners stranded in raging water, others hoisted from flooded neighborhoods to safety. The catastrophe taking its toll and claiming more lives.
We couldn't find them, and once our dive team got there, it was too treacherous to go under and look for him. So
Houston's police chief breaking down as he described one of the newly confirmed deaths, one of their own. 34-year veteran Sergeant Steve Perez drowned when floodwaters overcame his vehicle as he tried to get to work. His wife is devastated.
And she tells me, I told him not to go to work. I really didn't want to go. And his response was, we've got work to do.
Today, a pair of 70-year-old reservoirs that protect downtown Houston started overflowing, even after engineers began releasing water from them on Monday to ease pressure on the dams. But the rain kept coming, and now new fears that more neighborhoods along one of the city's main bayous will flood. Some residents had thought the worst had passed. Now a frantic rush to get out.
We heard that the floodgates of the dams had been released. We knew that we were really going to be in for a world of hurt, and we had to get out of there fast.
South of Houston, Brazoria County authorities posted a warning on Twitter that a levee was breached, urging people to get out now. Harvey has shattered the U.S. record for rainfall during a tropical system. A weather station near Houston reported more than 50 inches of rain, topping the previous high of 48 inches, set in 1978. In Harris County alone, a trillion gallons of rain has fallen over 4 days, which is more than flows over Niagara Falls in 2 weeks.
It's been amazing how this water has creeped up like this. I am a Houstonian, born and raised here, and I've never seen anything like this.
Waving a Texas flag, President Trump today toured Corpus Christi, near where Harvey made landfall as a Category 4 hurricane on Friday.
This is historic. It's epic what happened. But you know what? It happened in Texas, and Texas can handle anything.
The Red Cross says more than 17,000 evacuees are in shelters.
How high was the water in your home, ma'am?
It was about this high.
Hilaria Duran has lived here for a half century. Today, she and her husband were trapped.
Very terrifying, because we're by ourselves. We live alone, and he's a diabetic.
Parents being rescued along with their young children, desperately using anything to keep them afloat.
How quickly did it rise?
It was slow, but we just we were hopeful that it wasn't going to happen.
But it did happen. And tonight, thousands of families like his are grateful. Help came in time. Houston police say they've arrested more than a dozen looters, but so far, the aftermath here, for the most part, has been orderly. There are fears the death toll could climb, but right now, the focus is on these rescue efforts. Authorities say some homes could be underwater for up to a month. Lester?
All right, Gabe Gutierrez tonight, thank you. And as Gabe just mentioned, there are thousands of evacuees packed into dozens of shelters in and around Houston. Many have ended up inside Houston's Convention Center, which was prepared to take in 5,000 people, but is now packed to nearly double that capacity. We get more on that from NBC's Jacob Rascone.
They arrive by the truckload and by helicopter. 10,000 people and counting now living in Houston's Convention Center. Thalia Castro, her son, and other family members among the rescued.
So I was like, if we can't get out, we have to figure out a way. Like, I wasn't going to give up on my son.
It is so bad.
Trapped for hours, water rising, unable to reach authorities.
I can't. I'm scared.
Thalia pleaded for help on Facebook.
There was no hope. I was crying hysterically. I thought I was going to die. Like, I felt like this was the last day I was going to live.
Carried to safety by a rescue helicopter, her brothers and boyfriend left behind. Finally, they reach each other on the phone. They're okay for now. So many here, young children and families, now receiving food and medical care. A sharp contrast from these images during Hurricane Katrina.
But let me be clear, this is not the Superdome. The Convention Center, we are sustaining food, they have food, we're in security.
Houston stranded, finding refuge in shelters across the city. One of the newest, Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church, initially criticized online for not doing more. Osteen this afternoon tweeting, Lakewood's doors are open. Now they fill trucks with donations and take in Harvey survivors like the Zhang family, including four-month-old Sterlingson.
We are just very thankful that we are here safe.
Thousands of Houstonians like the Johnson family also opened their own homes. They took in two families.
We're able to help somebody. That is really important for us.
So many evacuees now with an uncertain future.
Oh, if you don't have homeowner insurance, it's gone.
Back at the convention center, there are thousands of volunteers. For Thalia, a sense of hope.
I believe that everything's going to be fine, so that's why I'm calm. I'm scared, but I'm calm.
There have been no arrests reported at the convention center, and amazingly, one in five people here is a volunteer. Houston's mayor says with all the evacuees, he's getting ready to open more mass shelters. Lester?
All right, Jacob Rascone tonight, thank you. The devastation here is hard to comprehend, and for one family, the grief is simply beyond words. Six of their loved ones lost and feared dead in the rushing floodwaters. Authorities have yet to recover those victims, but tonight we are learning much more about them and what are believed to be their final moments. NBC's Miguel Almaguer now with their story.
Today in hard-hit Greens Bayou, an ocean of misery and a sea of sadness. This is where search teams could not reach one family. The Saldivars were escaping rising waters when their van was swept off a bridge. Rick Saldivar's brother, Sammy, was behind the wheel.
He said the van was bobbing in the water. That's how deep it was. And he kept yelling at the kids. He can hear the kids screaming and, you know, crying, trying to get out of the van.
Sammy clung to a tree for nearly an hour before help arrived.
The sheriffs came over there with a boat and threw a lifeline to him, literally threw a lifeline to him.
Sammy's parents, Manuel and Belia, were retirees in their 80s. 16-year-old Devi had posted on Facebook hours earlier, no sleep and anxiety. Please let this pass. But Harvey barreled into their neighborhood. Brothers Dominic, 15, Xavier, 8, and little sister Daisy, just 6, watched as floodwaters kept rising. The drive to safety turned tragic. Aunt Anita says there was nothing her nephew could do.
He couldn't even talk to me about the kids. And it's a great loss. I mean, it's very, very devastating.
The bodies of the victims and the van are still missing. Tonight, Greens Bayou is a sea of floodwaters. Search crews clinging to hope as they wade through so much loss. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Houston.
Incredibly, Harvey, which is now back out over the Gulf as a tropical storm, is set to make landfall for a third time overnight, this time closing in on Louisiana, evoking haunting memories of Hurricane Katrina, which also made landfall there exactly 12 years ago today. New Orleans could see as much as 6 inches of rain through Thursday, and flash flood watches are in effect for most of the state. For more now on the threat, we turn to NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer, who's tracking the danger. Dylan, what's the latest?
Well, you can tell by the wind, we're still dealing with a tropical storm at this time. Winds are up to about 50 miles per hour right now, but the storm is on the move. We have the back edge of rain moving through the Houston area. That's why the sun is starting to break out. Today, most of the rain has been falling across Beaumont, Texas, which has reported about a foot of rainfall, whereas Houston picked up about 2 to 3 inches of rain. The storm will make that third landfall along the border of Texas and Louisiana tomorrow, then will weaken into a tropical depression by Wednesday afternoon, and then continue to bring some of that rain into the Tennessee River Valley, as much as 4 to 6 inches of rain there. We do still have flash flood warnings in effect in red there, including Beaumont, because of all the rain we have received. Going forward, we're looking at about an additional 6 to 12 inches of rain in the Beaumont area, and then Louisiana, not so much New Orleans, but Louisiana across west central parts of the state could pick up about 7 to 10 inches. And then up through Tennessee, we're looking at the potential for some of that rain as well. But Houston is almost in the clear from any more rain.
All right, Dylan, thanks. That feels good to be out of Gore-Tex tonight, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
All right. Many of you have asked us how you can help the people here in Texas. We have put together a list of charitable organizations, and they are on our Facebook page. We'll have more on the storm in a moment, but there's another major story we are following tonight. A new provocation from North Korea, firing a missile over Japan and not showing any signs of backing down in the face of threats from President Trump. And as concern spreads throughout the region, our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, is in South Korea, gaining rare access inside the underground command center where the U.S. is preparing for anything.
North Korea tonight released images of its leader happily overseeing the regime's latest missile launch, a launch that triggered warnings in Japan, alarms and text alerts telling people to take cover. The ballistic missile, traveling 1,500 miles over the Japanese island of Hokkaido, a 14-minute journey into the Pacific Ocean. Kim Jong-un's provocation prompting an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council.
I think enough is enough.
Japan's prime minister calling it an unprecedented threat and a rebuke from President Trump, who said all options are on the table. But when pressed how the U.S. would respond. But the U.S. has been preparing for an even bigger danger than a missile test.
We're now heading to a secure bunker. It's carved right into the heart of a mountain outside Seoul. And if North Korea ever were to attack, U.S. and South Korean forces could continue to operate from here. It's a place of last resort.
Got to be able to command and control various units on the Korean Peninsula.
Colonel Chad Carroll giving us rare access to what is effectively the doomsday bunker military commanders would use to survive an assault and launch a counteroffensive.
A lot of people work here.
Enough to get the job done.
U.S. and South Korean war planners expect the North would use chemical weapons, so they may have to stay in here for a long time. And in here today, training on how to repel an all-out invasion from North Korea's massive army.
And North Korea may not be done yet. Officials here in Seoul say they believe preparations are underway for North Korea to carry out an even more provocative new nuclear test, perhaps in the coming weeks. Lester?
Richard Engel tonight in Seoul, South Korea. Thank you. Still ahead, the hits just keep coming from the catastrophe here in Texas, the financial disaster that's also awaiting so many uninsured homeowners long after the floods. Also, the mission to rescue some of the other victims, pets and other animals still trapped in flooded neighborhoods. We hope you can stay with us. Back now from the storm zone here in Texas, where the water has turned so many homes into a total loss, and only a fraction of the families are covered by flood insurance to repair the damage. It's this area now dealing with the realization, but it's a problem in communities prone to flooding all across the country, as NBC's Kerry Sanders reports.
Oh, my God.
For victims of Harvey tonight, heartbreak.
I've lost my home, and I'm thankful my children are safe. It's just, I have nowhere to go.
The painful reality for every six homes in the Houston area, only one has flood insurance. Reuben Amador escaped as his house went underwater.
All my assets in my house, all gone for no insurance.
Nice to have you guys here.
We met him at a furniture store turned makeshift shelter with his brother's family.
What are we going to do now? I have no idea.
Even those with flood insurance like the Jones and Grace families, anxious. Why? 5 years after Superstorm Sandy, some homeowners in New York and New Jersey are still waiting for insurance checks from that storm.
They're going to have thousands of people to help, so it's going to be a wait.
Even just 1 inch of water can cost more than $20,000 in damage. And tonight, many victims are only just learning homeowners insurance does not cover a flood created by Mother Nature. It's only covered by a federal government flood insurance program. And that program runs out of money at the end of next month, unless Congress takes action.
I feel so sorry for these people. Unfortunately, a lot of them are going to have to struggle with getting their full claims paid. They shouldn't have to, so FEMA should step in and help them right now.
To make matters worse here in Texas, there's a filing deadline this Friday. After that, a new state law goes into effect that may make it more difficult to challenge an insurance company estimate of what a homeowner is owed. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Cuero, Texas.
Up next here tonight, we go along on an urgent search and rescue mission to save victims still trapped by this storm. We'll be back. We're back now from Texas, relishing finally a break from the rain and even a little sunshine here. With a look now at a search and rescue mission, the size and scope of which is like few have seen before in this country. So many here banding together to answer the call as trapped residents find a variety of ways to get the message out.
By air and by boat, the rescuers continue to come. Harris County Constable Alan Rosen and his deputies are among many answering the urgent pleas of those waiting for aid. We join them today as his fleet of high water rescue trucks rolled out looking for those in need. And while the size of the trucks are impressive, they can only go so far.
We did have one get stuck yesterday with some very high water, 7 feet. We had to deploy both.
Rosen is relying on an unlikely source to direct his teams where to go.
This is one of the biggest natural disasters of the social media age. How has that affected how you are dispatched?
Social media has helped us message, find out where people needed to be rescued. People were on their roofs, helped us deploy assets.
Hashtag SOS Harvey has been trending on Twitter since the flooding began. Users tweeting out addresses where people needed to be evacuated. Two adults, two children, water at waist level, 9015 Sandpiper, hashtag Harvey SOS. Facebook has a safety check where users can alert family members to their whereabouts. Those still in need of help are urged to post their addresses and phone numbers and sit tight. Help will come.
We're going to be okay, I think.
We're still in a search and rescue mode, and we're going to continue to focus on saving lives until the water recedes and everybody's safe to go home and clean up their lives.
And as you saw, the constable working right alongside with the National Guard and their high water vehicles on that rescue. Just some of the heroism we're seeing here in Texas as a terrible situation brings out an incredible showing of humanity. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's not just people who need rescuing. The incredible effort to save their beloved pets also stranded in this disaster. Finally tonight here in Texas, a rescue mission for perhaps the most vulnerable victims of this storm and the floods. The animals, dogs and cats, frightened and confused, but not forgotten, as NBC's Joe Fryer shows us.
These days, Bayou Animal Services truly is a shelter, a sanctuary for dogs and cats upended by Harvey.
I got you something.
Animal Control Officer Nadine Perez is staying here around the clock to care for frightened pets, including litters of kittens.
I've already cried. I can't tell you how many times. You know, we all need our five-minute cry break, and then we get back up and get back to work.
Some are strays. Others were dropped off by evacuees who will return when life is in order.
It's very high stress right now. Emotions are high.
Typically, this shelter would have no more than 30 dogs and 60 cats. Right now, they have more than 100 dogs and 100 cats. So they're using the public works garage as an overflow space.
Good boy.
and more pets are on the way. Today, the Humane Society arrived in Dickinson to rescue animals still trapped in flooded neighborhoods. They have a list of homes to visit and, if needed, break in with permission from the owners. Here, they saved three dogs from a house where floodwaters reached waist high.
Pets are an important part of people's families, and right now, you know, people have lost a lot. And so if we can get people's pets back into their hands and into their homes, we want to do that.
As the stubborn storm drags its feet across the region, images of animals are tugging at the country's heart. Floodproof love for our loyal friends who need us now more than ever. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Dickinson, Texas.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is NBC Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night.